Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, we come today to the climax of the church's celebration of the Paschal Mystery. In a sense, just as Epiphany brought the Christmas feasts to their climax with the recognition of salvation for the whole world, for all nations, so also we have this celebration of forgiveness granted, sent out to be shared with the whole world. John's gospel delights in pulling everything together. In other words, all the different aspects of the Paschal mystery are somehow converged and celebrated almost as if they happened at once. And from God's point of view, I'm sure that's really very true. So that the things that Jesus talked about at the Last Supper pulled together. His tragic yet glorious death, symbolized artistically in our presence, in our midst today, pulled together. The resurrection, the gift of the Spirit, the Great Commission, all pulled together into a single great mystery of loving self-sacrifice and partnership with God. It is we who need to pull the pieces apart because of our own limited human understanding. And in order to assimilate the richness of this Paschal mystery, we pull them apart. We need to understand them, and so we break it up, almost like a cinnamon bun where you just kind of break the pieces, or like a child, a little youngster who takes a series of building blocks and picks each one up and looks at it on all the sides, and then only seeing the blocks does he or she begin to build something. Well, that's what we're doing today. We need to take time. And it's the gift of God's Spirit to appreciate each of those pieces in a spirit of faith that enables us to understand the marvelous unity of the Paschal mystery and its impact on our whole world. When we pull it apart, it falls into what I like to describe as four dyads, four doubles, four duals. There's the life and death of Jesus. I mean, his love, his public ministry for all, especially the unlovable, and his intense passion, his desire to make the whole world whole again. And then the recognition, unfortunately, by the leaders in Jerusalem that he was too dangerous, and therefore that he had to be killed and eliminated. His life and his death. But there's also the death and resurrection. That incredibly tragic execution, because that's exactly what it was, but the fact that God would not allow it to end there. And so, the resurrection. I went to the concert this weekend, Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, and there was an introductory dedication of the whole concert. It was Mahler's Resurrection Symphony. It was a gorgeous thing. But there was an introductory comment because it was dedicated to one of the members of the orchestra who had recently died, much beloved figure who had died. And they wanted to dedicate the whole piece of music to his memory. But there was a quote that the person gave that struck me powerfully. I see a couple of heads nodding. Perhaps you were there. You know, the quote was, "Grace enters the soul through wounds." That's remarkable. And he applied it to the wound of their loss and sorrow and said grace comes in and somehow heals and does what needs to be done. Well, that second triad, death and resurrection, and grace coming into the community and the individuals and the whole of creation through the wounds that now become glorified. And again, you look at the image and we see that so visually. But there's a third, resurrection and ascension. With all the conversation which Jesus had after the resurrection about the new creation, about his return to the Father, with a sense of mission accomplished, if you will, Jesus going back saying, here it is, new creation begun. That's the third dyad, resurrection, but also ascension. Then finally, ascension and the gift of the Spirit. It was a return to the Father, mission accomplished, but not an abandonment. Because he stays with us in this great commission of extending forgiveness extending the gospel in partnership to all his disciples and eventually to the whole world. John sees all these things as one, because that's how God sees it. Great sweep of salvation. Jesus enters our world, loves it into the new creation, and then returns gloriously to the Father. Now, whether it's compacted, as John presents it, or whether stretched out, as our Catholic liturgy likes to deal with this mystery in segments and scenes, it's the Spirit that's at work throughout all of it, in our midst. The Spirit of understanding, of compassion, of reconciliation, the Spirit of love and unity, the Spirit that enables any one of us, as we're told by Paul, also to the Corinthians, that we can't even say Jesus is Lord without the Spirit at work in our lives. So the Spirit is at work in all of this. There's some wonderful images for the Spirit that have developed over the years, one of which is simply rain. I mean, we've had enough of that recently, but I hope that people look out the window once in a while when it's really raining hard and say, this is a symbol of the Spirit. From heaven to earth, absolutely without our ability to control it, necessary for life, seeping into all the cracks and crevices of creation, enabling every single creature to become itself, and then pulling it all together in a fruitful and symbiotic fashion. Rain, it's a wonderful symbol for the Holy Spirit. But we might come up with a more modern one as well. We might say, well, the Spirit at work within us and within each of us is like a personal traitor. And I'm surprised every once in a while when someone rather improbably says, well, I have a personal trainer. I say, really? To develop the core, the abs, the biceps, all sorts of things, whatever we may need in our own individual life, so that our respective individual gifts might be placed at the service of the whole community and the larger world. That's what the Spirit does for each one of us, making sure that we develop who we are in order to be of service, not just for ourselves. So wonderful. Another symbol for the work of the Spirit. The source of our distinctive individualities, the source of our reconciled unity. One body, many members. And so today we go back to the same gospel that we heard on Easter. And we have a different set of glasses. Not Jesus, glorious, risen, victorious over sin and death. That's true. But we come back now after 50 days of celebrating the Paschal mystery with a new set of glasses to see that the gift of his divine life-giving Spirit is at work in our world. Now the gospel speaks about forgiveness. And that's a new lens, if you will, to look at the death and resurrection. The upper room was just shattered after that event of the execution. Just shattered and splintered. Splintered by a sense of guilt, by shame, by the realization that they had fled, abandoned him, that they had betrayed him in so many different ways. And that the sin was very personal in that upper room. It was specifically individual. It was my selfishness, my fear, my actions, my omissions, what I could have done or might have done. And then the forgiveness doesn't erase the diversity, but it pulls it together again. Grace enters the soul through wounds. Reconciliation, the offender and the offended. Reconciliation, God and us, humanity. And that's what biblical peace is all about. And I'm sure the people in the upper room and then shortly thereafter tried to sort it all out, saying, well, wherever new life occurs, wherever new unity exists, wherever new vitality suddenly surfaces, that's a work of the Spirit. The Spirit must be here. And then if the Spirit is here in a new and definitive way, then Jesus clearly has to be the promised Messiah. And if he's clearly the promised Messiah, then, well, I guess this is the last stage of the world. It's a process by which the Spirit enables the whole church to come to terms with the great gift. So here we are in Pentecost, great feast of Pentecost, conscious of our sins, conscious of the shattering sins of our world, conscious of our restored unity, conscious of the needs we have at this point in history. Our society is terribly divided. And there's a great sorrow and shame about that. And our church is humbled by the sorrow and shame of the abuse crisis. And there's a sorrow about that too. And we need the healing Spirit for all of that. The world is divided more than anyone can remember for a long time between the rich and the poor. The world is divided by people who don't respect diversity. And if they're not of the same mind, then the other party must be bad somehow. That needs healing. The world needs to be balanced between local and universal. So we come then to this Feast of Pentecost asking God to pour out the Spirit that we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need, in order that we might be a sign of the Spirit at work in the reconciliation of the whole world. What a wonderful, marvelous feast.